Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
The Geek's Guide to Entertaining.
And a whole new way to make TV shows.
And an app that gets rid of your iPhone 10 notch.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. You can do that? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
This is the show where we cover everything iOS, the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV.
Pencil.
And the pencil. Notice I have mine strapped firmly to my case. It's one of the reasons I like this Logitech case. And I never use it. I never use. Do you ever use your pencil?
Not really.
You have yours strapped firmly
mine,
to your case,
mine
too.
Mine sticks to the top as well.
It's for drawers.
Yeah, artists. Someday I will be an artist. They call them artists.
I call them drawers.
We're going to tell you how to entertain this holiday season like a geek.
Yeah, party time.
It's party time. We're getting near American Thanksgiving, then the other holidays. And it's fall. It's time to sit inside, invite friends over, and still be a geek.
I always said, really, that the iPad was the ultimate personal entertainment device. Because it's yours. You have it with you. You carry it around. It's a great screen. It's getting better all the time. The iPad Pro is an amazing screen. And if you hold it really close, it's as big as a 70-inch television.
Totally.
So why not?
Well, I also have an app for those people who feel like for holiday get-togethers, they're going to be stuck in a room of people that they disagree with, and they're going to want to distract themselves. So I have some.
That's entertaining
some apps
as well.
Probably not with your iPad, maybe with your tiny little iPhone 10.
And I actually have a game, we've talked about it before, that is the best party game to play with family and friends. And that's another way. You know, when the conversation turns to politics, you go, I got an idea. Let's play a game.
Right. Yes. You can either distance yourself with this app or include everyone in a fun game that I think there is if you're talking about the same game I think you're talking about, just don't choose the politics category. But first, I want to talk about just sometimes being a geek means that you have, and when I say you, I mean you, Leo Laporte, giant geeky gadgets.
I do. Giant.
And that's part of when you have people over, you're like, let me show you my giant TV. Let me show you my heated toilets.
Yeah.
Let me show you my coffee maker.
I did both
maker.
Of those to you.
Yeah, you did. Yes. Or let me show you my coffee maker that roasts, grinds, and brews coffee.
Grinds and brews is cool, but it roasts coffee in your house?
It does.
Well, it's fresh that way. Where do you buy unroasted beans?
Well, here's the thing. This is called the Bonaverde Berlin, and they come in. This is it right now.
Oh, you subscribe to the beans. Good Lord, that thing's huge.
Yeah.
It's as big as R2-D2.
Like from the front. Do we have a front shot for it? Oh, yeah, there it is.
And it's a Mr. Coffee in the bottom. That's the irony of it. Yeah. After all that. You get Mr. Coffee.
So it looks a little 70s. Like if you have a 70s look, to me that looks like the furniture and style of the 70s when I grew up.
You could buy this or a new iPhone 10.
This is less than a new iPhone 10.
Not much.
It's $800. So we'll just start there. It works with RFID. And so you take this, the coffee beans. These are fresh green beans.
That's really
scan
interesting.
Them there. Oh, it turns
you
right on.
You scan them?
You scan the beans.
Oh, it's an RFID. It's not a barcode.
There.
So there's
and
a
then,
chip in
so
the bag.
So it's ready. It knows how much there is in
We're
there.
We're going to roast
and
it?
Then you tear it open carefully.
Because usually roasting coffee is a fairly odoriferous process.
Well, we're going to tell.
It's one of the reasons I don't do my own home roasting is it's really stinky. Yeah, people, your neighbors will hate you. Maybe they have a special filtration.
We did
system.
This one once before. I thought it smelled kind of good.
Well, I mean, I guess in moderation it smells good, yeah.
Yeah, so we're pouring them in there, the green beans. Dropped one. Now it's going to be weak coffee.
Every bean. No bean left behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Leo has that bean. You can take a look.
It looks like a bean. It does, yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like a bean?
Unroasted coffee bean. Yeah, it's green, fresh.
Yeah.
And then this serves as the filter. We're going to put that in there.
Can I eat this? Is it safe to eat? Oh, wow.
Did you eat it?
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I didn't answer the question. And then...
It was rhetorical.
It's supposed to automatically go.
Okay, one thing I'll tell you right up front.
I hope.
Roasted beans crunch because they're, I guess, broken down and they mm-hmm. roast. This thing is, I can't really
no,
eat this.
No, don't. I don't think that.
It's like eating a chewy rock.
We filled up with water, so maybe it needs to know that.
Although my teeth are strengthened because I made venison jerky yesterday. And I talk about tough. This is almost as tough as. And you know what? It doesn't taste like coffee at all.
Doesn't?
No.
What does it taste like?
Green grass.
All right.
There, well, I got it broken down.
We're just hoping that it's working.
Tasty.
Before, when I looked into it, it would... here, Evan, come here and look right into there.
We have a volunteer from the studio audience to look into it.
Look into there.
What do you see, Evan?
Because when I looked in there, a light came on before.
The studio light's in the background. It's hard to see anything.
Yeah.
No, there's no...
Okay.
Oh, there's a little...
It's roasting.
Okay. Oh, so let's assume it's roasting, and we'll continue on with the show.
Possibly.
And hope that by the end, we'll have a cup of coffee. What do you think?
By the end of the show, I could really use one now.
Well, go use the Keurig.
All right.
This show is not sponsored by
no,
Keurig.
No, I'm boycotting Keurig.
All right. So do you want to play? Is your favorite holiday game the same as my favorite holiday
Tell
game?
Tell me, because I'm curious.
Heads up?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's so funny.
I know we talked about this before, but
that
it is
That cracks
really
me up.
So
that's what
fun.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So this is a game. Everybody needs a phone. It doesn't have to be an iPhone. For your sad relatives that own Android phones, you can play Heads Up together. But the fun thing is, you're really using your phone. Should we play together?
Yeah, I think we just need one phone that has it on it, right?
Oh yeah, if there's only two players. But if there's more than two players, and you can play with 10 people,
okay.
Everybody but one person puts the phone on their forehead.
Okay, so here,
pick a category.
What do you want? Act it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's gonna.
I choose that.
This is actually really well done. I thought
it's time.
It's so funny that's what you were gonna do
it's,
too.
It's time to mime. Act out the action on the card. For your teammate to guess. No right. talking. Okay, so how are we going to be able to, how are you going to be able to see
it? You put
it
on your forehead.
Okay.
You mean?
So, I'll enable the camera. Like how, so.
No, you have to still look at your screen. Keep looking at your screen. You're not done yet.
Oh, I'm not done yet?
No.
Okay.
You have to enable.
Heads up would like to access my camera. Okay, okay. Camera enabled.
Enable microphone.
Enable microphone.
Yeah.
So then okay. we can do the instant replay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, place on forehead.
Place on forehead. See, it gives
okay,
you
so now, you
now
see
look
me.
At me. Well, actually, you could look at them, too, because I can
I'll
see
I'll close
it.
My eyes.
Get ready.
Okay, now I'm going to watch you mime.
Shaking,
coffee, stirring, cocktails, making cocktails, pouring a cocktail, martini, making a martini, pouring, drinking, what? Oh, espresso? No. Making a tiny cocktail, bartender?
Do you have to get it exactly right? She's got
making
the gist.
A little drink. Getting drunk. Drink.
Yeah, she drinks. Said drink. Yeah.
Drink.
Bing.
Drink.
So now you have to do the next one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm showing it
okay.
off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Getting dressed. Getting undressed. Sweater. Laying down. Sleeping. Relaxing. Taking a nap. Playing the piano. Being drunk. Playing the piano. Getting smacked on the butt. Playing the piano. Hugging. Playing the piano on the what?
No, the time's going. Next.
Okay.
Next.
Do I skip it? Okay.
Yeah. Show if you go up, it skips it.
Come two. On, iPhone 10.
Two. Okay. So it was.
What was it?
Taking a hot tub. Not an easy thing to. I took off my clothes.
Like.
I got in something, and
you're
it was going like
the
this.
Piano.
Oh, that's bubbles.
Piano.
So anyway, this is you can see how much fun this is.
Okay.
They've got movie titles. They've got all these categories. It's in-app purchases for a lot of them. It comes with some basic categories. Isn't that fun?
It is really fun. It's kind always
of,
fun.
It's charades, Pictionary, kind of you know. Password. It's kind of, I guess password would be the closest analog that game.
Yeah. I'm crying
That's so
a little
funny.
Bit.
<It's so fun. laughs> That is the game to play at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It is so much fun. I've played it with the whole family, like 8 or 9 people. And yeah, everybody laughs just like that. Mm-hmm. It's really a great game. It's really fun. And then you pass it around, by the way. Everybody gets a chance to act out.
I'm still confused about this being on top.
That's bubbles.
Okay.
I don't know. How are you supposed to do bubbles?
Okay.
Heads up.
It's 99 cents, and then you can get, if there are tons of decks, but if you get tired of the decks, if you play it constantly, you can buy more decks.
Probably the most fun you can have without a hot tub. You could actually play it in a hot tub.
Okay.
Come to think of it.
You could, especially with your, is this iPhone waterproof?
Ish.
Okay.
You know,
with your iPhone.
I wouldn't
7.
Get in a hot tub with it.
Okay. Good to know.
They don't mention temperature. It's waterproof, sort of.
Okay. So my coffee doesn't seem to be roasting, and I'm confused.
I want coffee. I'm going to be really upset if all I get is that unroasted bean.
Okay.
For the whole show.
Anthony came in here a second ago. Maybe he knows, because he was with me when we made coffee before. Okay, so do you have anything else?
I have lots of things, but I think you should go. If you're going to do games, do you have more games? Because my entertainment is like stuff to watch and stuff like that. You know?
I don't. You were also going to talk about the Clips app because it's fun. You can get your.
Oh, I love this.
Why don't you talk about
I guess
that?
This is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, with your family. Make videos.
Yeah.
Make
now, you need. The Clips app's been around for a while. This is Apple's kind of create interesting video clip application that works on all iOS devices. But if you're lucky enough to have an iPhone X, it takes advantage of the notch. I'm going to just call it the notch to do some really cool thing. So the idea is you make a movie and you can assemble the movie, and then it has a lot, you know, from your existing things, it has posters, you know, so you can do check this out, and then you can add the videos. It's basically a very simple video editing program. The coolest feature was the feature that allowed you to have live titles. So I can speak while I'm recording, and it will automatically transcribe what I say. That's really cool. That's the old feature. This, my friends, is the new feature. And again, this requires an iPhone X, and it just crashed. Wow. Well, maybe I asked it to do too much. So this requires an iPhone X, and this is augmented reality, right?
Oh, look at you.
So I'm in Hong Kong. We can look at the street. Megan's in Hong Kong, too, so it's smart enough to recognize people. Notice it sees the microphone, so I guess it gets things that are around you, which is kind of cool. And then it places you in an environment, and you can record a movie there. But wait, there's more. We can change the scenes, and because of the A11 Bionic chip in here that's so fast, we can look how it's processing my video. It's what we call that rotoscoping. And normally this is a very painstaking process. I'm in Brooklyn. See the bridge?
Yeah.
By the way, you can apply different effects. After you shoot the movie, you can take different effects with the background, and everything changes in real time. Here we are on the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
What? Say, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Isn't that cool? So you can assemble these clips in a variety of ways. I really like this one. This is a street in France. You can't really. It's hard for me to show it to you because, of course, you rotate it. But there's the Arc de Triomphe, and I'm a pencil drawing. Now I don't know if you remember. There was a great. What was the name of that? Was it? There you go. Aha! Take on Me. Mm. It's a version of that kind of. But there was also a something Life. Remember who made that wonderful movie?
Oh, Rick. Linklater.
Yeah, Linklater. It was all rotoscoped, right?
Yeah.
And that movie took months. Aha's Take on Me took 6 months to make. You could do this in real time. Now, of course, those are real pencil drawings, and each one was done individually. But I have to say, this is pretty impressive using the notch camera. Here's an 8-bit version of Leo in Mario Land. How about that? Isn't that cool? And there's sounds to go with it, too. You know, I would plug in our audio jack, but there's no headphone jack on this.
Yeah.
So I guess I could turn it up as loud as I can. Maybe you could hear it through the microphone. You know, I could probably AirPlay this. That'd be kind of interesting. I don't know what would happen, though. How about this one? Welcome to Japan and the Cherry Blossom Festival.
There are stickers, too.
All of those have been there for a while. So if you're familiar with the Clips app, it has all the features. And this feature, this really cool feature, won't appear unless you have an iPhone X. Because I smell roasting coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a good smell. It smells like plastic melting.
But I think that's what it's supposed to smell like.
Yeah, it is. That's why people don't roast coffee in their homes.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you to James from the UK. I had to scan it again and till it really made another, and then push this.
Oh, you can see it now. Look, you can see it.
And then if you go up close, you can see. Yeah, I think it does have a. So if you go look into it, that
is there a flame?
No, it's just a roaster.
Is it like one of those Kenner Easy Bake ovens? It's just a hot light bulb.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to me. now I'm in space. There's quite a few of these, and I would bet you Apple's going to do more. Wouldn't you think? Really, I think, neat effects. So you can incorporate those, and of course you can, you know, if you shoot a video and you make a video with these effects, and I can play my my video, you'll see them, and you can edit them together as individual clips. You could use the stickers and so forth. I think this is really cool. Here I am having a cup of coffee in Paris. Yeah, didn't fool anybody.
It's confusing because you actually were in France this year.
I know. I think it'd be really interesting to use this in France. That would be really kind of cool. So this is the Clips app. I don't know if that's it's entertaining.
Well, with your family, if you want to justify the price of your iPhone 10 to your family, you say, "Look at this. Watch this. It's like the $800 coffee maker. Watch this."
So a lot of these features have been around for a while, but I love the new. And you have to have an iPhone 10. The new put yourself. There's a good example in the world. That is really amazing, isn't that? I expect to see more stuff using the Face ID camera. There's so much more you could do. And by the way, that shows also shows off the processing power of the iPhone 10 that it could do that in real time. Is kind of impressive. And I know that the future iPhones future iPhones, I hear, will have the something on the back to do augmented reality. They say a time of flight 3D sensor in the back.
Yep.
So
just like you asked, because that was one of your biggest complaints.
Well, yeah, because all of this fancy technology is basically for selfies and an emoji. But as long as you're going to do that, you might as well make a really amazing one with Clips.
Right. My next app is one that you can either share with your whole family on your big Apple TV or on your iPad. Or if you are just sick of whoever you're entertaining and you've been forced to go to this party or throw this party and you want to just go in the corner and distract yourself, it's called Never Think.
Never Think. Never Why Think? Think. Thinking is overrated.
It's just basically curated YouTube videos. And when I say curated, I don't mean like, you could just hand it over to your child because it'll all be good. No, because there's lots of stuff that you maybe don't want to show in a group that has children. So what topic do you want? YOLO? Food, fun,
YOLO.
Gaming?
Let's do you only live once.
So it's just going to show you a video
of somebody going downhill really fast and risking their life. I hope he's wearing a helmet. That's all I can say.
And it's like TV. You can't speed it up. You can't. It's just basically like you're sitting back, flipping through the channels.
But you know, that's true. When you know, Thanksgiving, everybody eats at least in America. I don't know what they do in Canada, but everybody eats the turkey. They overeat. They get very sleepy, and then they all sit in front of the couch and watch a football game while Grandpa snores loudly. Right. And it's not fun if you're not a football fan.
No.
So I love the idea of having your own personal entertainment device. You might want to look at YouTube TV as well. Do you know about YouTube TV?
Tell us about YouTube TV.
This is YouTube's app for cord cutters. I have to say, this is the best. There are lots of these. We did a review of Sony's View. We did Sling TV. There's the DirecTV AT&T collaboration. To me, this is the best one. So it'll ask you where you live, and it'll give you live locals in most areas from your vicinity. And what I love about this is we're in Petaluma. We're an hour north of San Francisco. We can't get these without cable, these local stations. But it says, well, you're close enough. We're going to let you watch local TV. So now I can watch Today with Kathy Lee and Hoda wherever I am. And it's more than that, though. I have to tell you. So this is live TV from our local NBC affiliate, Channel 11. You can watch a lot of different stuff. So there are also some cable channels. There's the CW. There's ESPN 1 and 2. Some college football, SEC, ESPNU. There's ESPN News. They really have a relationship with ESPN, apparently. They also have Fox Sports 1 and 2. A lot of sports. Here's NBC Sports Network, Sports Bay Area, which is nice. And you know, you may have the same blackout problems that you have with other applications watching football games, local football games, Big Ten football, BTN, CBS Sports Network, the Golf Network, the Olympic Network, the Tennis Network. Oh, finally, some kids stuff. You can put the kids down in front of the Disney Channel or Disney Junior or Disney XD, which features everybody's favorite, Phineas and Ferb, and Universal Kids. Here's the AMC, which has, you know, it's the movie channel, but isn't The Walking Dead on AMC? There's some good there's some good stuff. BBC America, there's some great stuff. I don't know Freeform. I guess it looks like it's maybe a religious channel. FX and FXX. FXM, I don't know what version of FX that is. There's the IFC. You can see all these great channels, and they've been adding more. National Geographic, Sci-Fi, Bravo, E!, all the news channels, Fox News, MSNBC. CNN's not on here. And I would guess that's something to do with Time Warner. Not sure. Newsy, CNBC. And there's a couple of Spanish language stations, Telemundo and Universo. And Chiller, which is, I guess, a scary channel. Ooh. So this, and it's, I think, 35, is it 35? I want to say 35 bucks a month. I can't remember because I got a special deal. Here's one more thing I really like. If there's a show that you want to keep watching, oh, Planet Earth 2, that's fabulous. Let's DVR that. You see, I press the play button. That is now going to be added to my library, and it records it when it airs. So if you go into your library, you mentioned we were talking about Fargo. These are shows that have been recorded on a DVR. The best thing about this is you get up to five family members using the family YouTube family plan, and that each of them gets their own DVR. So this is, I think, like you could say, I want to record Phineas and Ferb, and then your iPad would just be loaded with Phineas and Ferb for the kids, that kind of thing. I think this is a really fantastic, you know, if you have cable TV, maybe you don't need this because it really kind of duplicates it. I seem to have frozen it. Mm-hmm. But what does it say for the price? 35 a month?
35.
Yeah. I think that's a good deal. In fact, I think you could turn off your cable TV if you had this. Maybe you got HBO Go for another 15, or HBO Now for another 15, and maybe Netflix for another 10. So there you go. That's, you know, 60 bucks, probably close to your cable bill, but still a pretty good package. Oh, 6 accounts per household. Sorry, not 5.
And can you watch, like, the Thanksgiving Day football on this? Would they?
Some, yes.
Yeah. Because that's why we never are allowed to have Thanksgiving at our house, because we don't have
Because you don't have TV, football. And so, of course, you can AirPlay this. Yeah. So you could put it on the big screen TV. I'm a fan of YouTube TV, so much so that even though I pay a lot of money for cable at home, I still have it because it's on my phone, it's on my iPad, and with a DVR, if I'm traveling or whatever, I can watch my local stations. I really like that. I think that's really good. So that is broken right now on my... you know, maybe we still thought I was watching Kathy Lee and Hoda. It probably was prohibiting me from doing anything else on the... Is the coffee roasted?
It's
how long does it
like
take to roast?
Roasting. We'll be able to tell. I think it's all
so like an hour
like
later.
Minutes?
I can have a cup
no,
of coffee.
I think 20 minutes. That's
so 20 minutes of roasting.
No, I think 20 minutes total. Roasting, grinding, brewing.
Well, grinding and brewing doesn't take long.
No, so
18
roasting.
Minutes of roasting.
Yeah, there it goes.
What I do, and it looks like it's doing a good job. What I do like is fresh roasted coffee. I mean, that is as fresh as you can get, right?
Yeah, that's why you would get this, besides just to impress your friends. And then
I notice it doesn't have any place to vent, but maybe you'd put this on the back porch when you're doing the roasting.
Right, yeah, true.
And then the neighbors can complain. Because it's not just, so people don't know that coffee roasting isn't just a luscious coffee smell. It's kind of a... There's more to it. It's a lot of volatile chemicals are being emitted by those beans that you don't get in the coffee. That's why you roast it.
Right. Bonaverde also is working hard to get it sourced properly. You know, there's a lot of issues.
Yeah, like where are
coffee.
They getting their beans?
They're getting it straight from the grower. Like honestly,
well, that's good.
Sourced.
Okay.
Coffee. So even though you have to buy it in the packet, you don't have to feel guilty about your
And those
coffee.
Are already biodegradable packets.
Yes.
They're paper.
And
packets.
They're used for the, well, it's used for the
That's
filter.
The drip as well. So if it's you do filter, drip, yeah. you're going to, yeah. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So we have a giant TV in our living room.
Does that smell good?
It's smoking.
Of course it's smoking. It puts
roasting.
It's roasting beans. I don't think it smells good.
I don't.
It smells like burning paint.
I wish we had smell-o-vision.
Yeah, I wish you could smell this at home. I think that's really the issue. If you've ever roasted coffee, you'll understand that is not the most pleasant smell.
No.
I have friends who wanted to roast coffee, but their neighbors really complained.
You know, it's a pleasant smell to have a fire going, like a fire in the fireplace. But most new homes don't have fireplaces.
We need a fireplace.
So
we have a, you know, a fake fireplace. I want wood. I want to bring a Yule log in and burn it. Can we do that with the iPad?
You could do it with the Apple TV. And again, you're not going to have the smell. You're going to have to smell. So this is...
Unless you roast some coffee at the same time.
This
Nick
is my
Offerman.
Favorite Yule log. We bring it out every year. You're right. It's only like two... I think it's like 2014 is when you recorded it. But I don't know. Maybe 2015. We play this on the giant TV. It lasts 10
there.
Hours. It's
you can get
hours.
Other Yule logs that are just fireplaces, but
yes.
Wouldn't you really rather have Nick Offerman in your home?
I would.
I think he's actually at my door.
He is at your door. There's another one if you don't like Nick Offerman. Play the
Ron
Nerdist
Swanson.
Yule log on YouTube.
We can have Chris Hardwick in our home?
No, it's just, there we go, Nerdist Yule log. This one I think is about 8 hours long, too. That's the Nerdist logo, but then it includes some robot arms, and it actually looks like they might have set their house on fire a little bit. this one, I don't want to ruin it for you, but this is good to have at your family gathering. This is how geeks entertain. This sort of thing. There are lots of things you could be playing on your Apple TV. Another one I like, let's see if I can find it. Astronomy photo of the day.
I love APOD.
Picture of the day. Let's okay.
Close enough.
Let's see. There's an app, and eventually we will find it in the App Store. App Store. There we go.
I didn't know that you could do that.
Yes. So we could just show this as a slideshow. So this...
I use this as my desktop wallpaper. I love that.
...would have this on their Apple TV.
Wow, that's really nice. And it's a screensaver because it's slowly moving on the screen.
So it's you can choose your favorites or you can just play all of them. And this is a free app.
This I should inquire. I'll ask. Maybe I'll ask Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy. Because I would leave all of our big screen TVs on with... Mm-hmm. Stuff like this. I mean, even the Apple TV screensaver is beautiful. And, of course, you can have your own photos. I would just leave them all on. I just feel like it would break them after a while. Like, it would wear them. Do you think
question.
It would wear them out? Maybe not.
I thought we didn't have to worry about that anymore
I think not, as long as it's moving, which all of these are, to protect the screen. I guess it would be okay.
Yeah.
There's some power issues. That, you know, a plasma especially uses up a lot of juice, but... I think it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. I think it's nicer than never cool. think YouTube videos.
Certainly while you're entertaining, you know.
Mm-hmm. You could tell people you took all these photos. They might not know. No, don't do that. Give credit to the astronomy photo of the day.
Nice. I guess once I've said YouTube TV, then you can just throw in all the other, you know, channels that you might have Netflix on there, the Curiosity Stream. We've mentioned before the Smithsonian Channel, which is free, has great stuff. There's a lot of different TV channels you could put on there.
And then
you could put them up there.
Yeah. When I was doing the research for this, they will charge you for Yule logs on the Apple TV. Don't buy those.
A Yule log.
Because they have regular on YouTube. If you don't like Nick Offerman or the Nerdist, there's just regular. Don't buy those apps.
As long as I'm plugging YouTube, YouTube Music is also great. And by the way, if you subscribe to YouTube TV, you get YouTube Red, which is the commercial-free version of YouTube, and you also get unlimited Google Play Music. So for $35, you actually get quite a bit. Since we're talking about entertaining the whole household, you could use YouTube Music to put together a list of perhaps holiday music and then put that up there. And it would be more than just the music. It would also be, let's see if we can find Christmas music, Christmas songs. So... There's a 3-hour medley, the top 21 Christmas songs that kids like to sing. You could just take the whole playlist, you know, the Mariah Carey, the Justin Bieber Mistletoe. You could have, let's just take. So now we got the music. We've got the video. I wish it were a little bit better video. That's not the greatest. But there's, there's, you know.
It's beginning to look a lot
like Christmas. They really get people throwing turkey at you if you play this during Thanksgiving. they have more appropriate stuff. And if you use the Vivo stuff, which is all the official approved music videos, then you're gonna have a lot of really really nice choices. I think YouTube music, you're also going to get that with YouTube TV, is something people forget as a pretty good choice for music. The kids know because they like watching music videos on YouTube. How do I get out of this? There we go.
So we've shown you ways to impress people if you did buy an iPhone 10. If you want to impress people if you didn't buy an iPhone 10, you can show on your Apple TV the YouTube video of the creepy mask defying Face ID, which I think we have.
Do you want to talk about that? Is it news time?
It's news time.
Okay.
It's news time.
This does not worry me in the least. So
I'm working on a mask of your face right
security,
now, Leo.
Security researchers said, we've cracked Face ID. We can fool it at great expense and time. It cost them hundreds of dollars. They had to, you know, create an effect, a 3D.
Whoa.
Well, watch. It's under that. Oh,
that's
something's grinding beans. I think we're going to have coffee any minute now.
It's a lovely
It sounds
sound.
Like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in there.
Well, that's how the beans feel probably right now.
You'd really have to love a coffee more than the most.
Yeah.
Actually, this is what our house sounds like in the morning because I have my, Lisa and I like coffee so much, we each have our own grinders. So her grinder is fairly noisy. I know when she's up because I hear that, basically. And my grinder also, it's a little quieter, but there's a distinctive sound to both. So people know when we're up because the grinders go off. Because I do believe strongly that you have to have freshly ground. If you want good coffee, you got to grind it yourself.
I was looking at prices of grinders. We're getting a little off task.
I have a very expensive grinder. The grinder out there,
the
Baratza.
Uh-huh.
That's a very expensive
grinder. I know, because I looked at it online. It
costs as much as that does.
And it's hard. It's hard. It was messy. Like, I found it messy. Maybe it's because it's been used so much.
Those of us who love coffee, don't mind this little fine coffee spray. Some bean coffee spray. It just adds to the environment.
Well, I'll tell you what I did, and maybe this...
This is not messy. It's all enclosed.
Yes. I used the blender to grind my coffee. And it was delicious.
No, it's wrong. Don't use the blender to
Why
make
not?
Coffee. Because that's a blade grinder, and you want a burr grinder. Big difference. You can get coffee mills that are blades. They look like little blenders, right? That is the wrong way to grind a bean. You need to grind it with a burr grinder.
Okay, so between the Keurig or the blender ground coffee, what would you choose?
Blender ground. At least it's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, no.
Now
get
you know
burr,
what to
get
me
a burr grinder. That's why they're expensive, because they're good burr grinders. You need a good... I'm going to set you up.
Okay.
We're going to get you a whole coffee set so you can enjoy the coffee the way it was meant to be enjoyed, with heavy cream.
This is not just a show about lessons on
I'm
how
ready.
To...
By the way, do you remember in chemistry the little rule? Do as you order, add the acid to the water.
Oh, I drink my coffee black.
I was always taught A&W root beer.
A&W root beer? Acid and water. So when you're mixing acid and water, you don't want to add water to the acid. That would be disaster.
Okay.
It would
okay.
boil. So you put the water in first. In this case, the base chemical, which is the cream, and then we're going to put the acidic coffee on top of it. Many people don't know that that's the proper way.
Okay. It's
you know
so
who knows that? Steve Gibson. When he goes to Starbucks, he says, can you brew the coffee into the milk? Not put the milk on top of the
coffee.
And
what do they say?
They do it.
Oh. Huh.
For him.
Oh.
Because he's having a quad, triple, venti latte.
Oh.
He has a 5-shot coffee.
So we got distracted. We were talking about the
What were
mask.
We talking about?
The mask that...
The mask. Show the mask, because we didn't get to that part. They had to... This is basically a life mask.
That's his face. Doesn't look anything like him.
Wow, it worked. So... If you wouldn't mind, Megan, for no apparent reason, going to make a mask of your face. So that means I need to have you lie down and pour plaster on you. But I'll put straws up your nose.
Okay, part of it is a picture. Like his eyes, they just took a picture.
You can see, of course, that this would work. I don't have any problem that this would work.
Yeah. How much was it? $150.
$300. And I don't think, by the way, that the conclusion... is accurate that Face ID is not secure.
No.
It is perfectly secure because somebody would have to do all that to fake it. And by the way, there's easier ways. And it's, you know, it just seems to me that's not. Maybe somebody will crack Face ID. You know, that it's new. It's just out. People did, you know, crack Touch ID with silicone thumbs and stuff. Yeah. But you have to consider who's going to do that.
I still can't open yours with my face, which is...
Oddly enough, your twins can open my phone.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
What happened to our logo? Could we get it back?
What is that?
Thanks.
Okay. That was the astronomy photo of the day, which is actually kind of boring. It was boring. It was just a picture of the picture of space with nothing in it. Yeah. So anyway, that, you know, it's true, but it's
okay. You know. So the other news, we've talked about the rear-facing 3D sensor. But that's not till 2019. So.
Yeah, then this is Ming-Chi Kuo from KGI. He's an analyst, and he's pretty accurate, but he gets things wrong. And we're talking not this 2018, not next year, the year after. I'm not sure why they wouldn't do it this year, because it's just a question of putting some stuff there. He says it wouldn't be the complete Face ID sensors Apple has here. They don't need that. What they need is what's called a time-of-flight sensor, which is a kind of a 3D sensor that bounces light off of an object and measures how long it takes. It's like, you know, like radar or sonar, where it bounces it off, how long it takes, and it can map a 3D picture out there in real time. And that's not an unreasonable thing to do. The rumor comes from, I guess it wasn't Ming-Chi Kuo. No. That was Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. I'll tell you Ming-Chi Kuo's rumor, which I think is more interesting.
That's next year.
That's the next phone. And he says there'll be three iPhones, one as big as 6.5 inches, all based on the iPhone 10.
I like this size of the phone.
I think this is the perfect size of the current 10, I agree with you, is really nice. Although there are lots of people who like bigger phones. The thing that's cool about the iPhone 10 is that is a big screen in a very small package, because there's no frame, there's no bezels. They get quite a bit of real estate into something that you can easily hold in your hand. I think it's kind of the best of both worlds. I agree with you. I really like it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. If Apple's going to do that, and we're starting to see rumors that this iPhone 10 demand is as high as any iPhone has ever been. A demand for the iPhone 8 plummeted, the little iPhone. So people are still buying the 8 Plus in some number, but this is what the phone everybody wants, is the iPhone 10. I think it proved, most importantly to Apple, that people, iPhone buyers are not price sensitive. And so I expect Apple will, you know, go all in on this platform. This is the future of the iPhone. And because its buyers are not price sensitive, expect them to be considerably more expensive. Also, they're basically going to buy every OLED screen in existence. One of the reasons Google had to use LG to make the screens for its Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL. Actually, they have a Samsung in the Pixel 2, and the Pixel 2 XL has LG screens, because Apple bought almost all of the production of Samsung and of LG. So it's going to get harder and harder for other manufacturers to make OLED screens. I imagine Samsung will always do it. Hey, I hear something happening.
Yeah, that's not...
Either you didn't have lunch and your stomach is gurgling. Oh my God, there's steam coming out of this thing now.
It's really doing it.
It's making coffee.
All right. What else? So the notch is apparently here to stay.
I don't mind the notch at all.
I don't mind the notch at all.
Did you get used to it?
I got used to it right away. Yeah. It's not a problem.
Although there is a way you can hide it. Do you want to show
of.
That?
This
you,
is the
did you install that?
I did.
I'm not going to do that.
It's the notch remover app. So you can see I installed it. No more notch. I think this actually looks ugly without the notch. All it is
a black
a
bar.
Way to, yeah, all it is, here's the notch remover app.
It turns your...
Yeah,
your,
you select an image. Yeah.
And Apple could have done that, actually. Right. They chose to make the time, the background and the time and the battery white to highlight the notch, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't see on my home screen, you don't really see the notch, because my home screen is dark. And so the notch fades away. If you have a lighter home screen.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the fix for me and for you would be to use a dark home screen.
Yeah.
But then you see it when you open, like, the calendar. It's what puzzles me most is that Apple didn't, in its own apps, didn't do anything to hide the notch. They feel like, no, this is a selling point. I think they want people to see the notch.
I don't mind it.
It lets the world know you have an iPhone 10, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, all it does is save automatically an image. And I prefer the I like the notch.
In order to do that, though, you had to run your wallpaper through that denotchifier.
You save the image and then
so you make new wallpaper.
You have to save the image and then you have to add as your wallpaper.
It doesn't fix the calendar notch.
No, it doesn't fix
because it's only when wallpaper is showing.
But the wallpaper, yeah.
So my suggestion: use dark wallpaper.
Right. Yeah. That's
you should use dark wallpaper on OLED screens anyway. Did you know that?
Yeah, because of power and
OLED screens don't have to use any power to display the color black.
Yeah.
So the more black you have, the better your battery life will be.
I say embrace the notch. Anyone who says get rid of the notch is the same people that say, like, get rid of, you know, pluck your eyebrows. That's what I say to you. I embrace my dark eyebrows. I embrace the notch.
So are you saying the notch is the unibrow of smartphones?
Yeah, some have called it the unibrow. Some have.
I guess the biggest issue for me is going to be video, right? So when you're watching, in fact, let me turn off my screen rotation lock so we can see this. Do I have to log into YouTube TV? No, it already knows who I am. Okay. Now it wants to know where I am. All right. We're signed in. And let's watch Mr. Robot. What do you say?
Okay.
What do you say? Oh, I didn't record it. Got to record it. Hey, I keep crashing YouTube TV on the iPhone.
Would you like some coffee while you wait?
Yeah. And hold your horses because it's time to try some... Well, who makes this thing?
Bonaverde.
Bonaverde.
Bonaverde Berlin. They're Italian.
That is a weak looking brew.
I know. It does look weak. And I added less water than we did last time because last time it tasted weak.
But see, I drink it so strong. This is probably how norms.
Okay.
Normies drink
normies.
It.
Normies. All right.
I guess you can't. You can't put more beans in.
You can put less water. But then you take a look.
Oh, my God, that's weak. It's like dishwater. It's flavorful.
Yeah.
It's fresh.
And it's not acidic.
It isn't.
No, it feels smooth.
That's the beans. That's interesting. Yeah. No, it is. I have to say, it's not acidic. But you couldn't, like, for instance, you use blue bottle beans in this. You have to get their coffee.
No, I mean, I feel like they're going to be forced to change that, like because it's like the Juicera effect.
Right.
This started as a Kickstarter, and now it's
interesting
available.
Idea. I mean, to have fresh roasted. You know.
Yeah, I like the idea. And if you are a coffee aficionado,
it's
and
good
as you
coffee.
Me,
it's just weak.
Like $800 was shocking to me, but to you, it's like you would pay more if it's good coffee. Like that's something that you love.
Yeah, I mean, if you include the grinder and the espresso machine that I have. That's thousands of dollars.
So we should mention, you mentioned Blue Bottle. They're a sponsor. Bonaverde is not a sponsor. They did send us this to review, and we will send it back.
Hell yeah, we'll send it back. It's not bad.
Looks like the silver one's $1,000. This one is this green and white 70s one.
And I have to say, it is, you're right, it's very smooth. It's delicious coffee.
And, you know, it was a 2013 Kickstarter for it to be available now.
That's Kickstarter for you.
I was thinking that wasn't that long, too.
3 years? 4 years?
30, oh, yeah, I guess it is 4 years.
Four years? It's not long? Well, I guess there's hope. I might get those dice that I ordered
you might.
4 years ago.
So, yeah, thank you, Bonaverde, for sending us this.
You know
this.
What? I'm going to take it back. It's good.
The coffee's good.
It's good. That's the only issue. You can't choose your own beans. Mm-hmm. You can't make it stronger if you want. But... yeah, very smooth, very delicious.
And you saw that it's from our online marketplace, so they are, it's mindfully sourced, as they say.
Yeah, that's not the same, though, as, what's that other phrase they use?
Sustainably sourced?
No, there's a new...
Oh, I don't, they might, I don't know.
I don't know.
And I do...
Fair trade.
Yeah.
It's not the same as fair trade.
Well, go back there. Does it say it is fair trade coffee?
Why does they say Berlin? Is that just the name of it?
Well, they are from Germany.
From Germany? Okay.
But this is, yeah, the name, it's the Bonaverde Berlin, but they are an Italian. Oh, wait, they're an Italian company. Italian. Did I say, sorry.
Berlin is in Germany, but
yes,
but
they're an Italian company.
Well, Italians know coffee.
Yes.
You know
and apparently
what?
You're supposed to drink it out of a glass.
The next step would make an espresso machine.
Okay, there it says, your gateway to the connected coffee ecosystem. Connecting you with exceptional growers around the world.
If they're buying it directly from the growers, and I think that's good enough. Fair trade enough. That's tasty.
I like it. And I did put a little bit less water because the last time it was very weak. So I put
less water. Half as much water and see what we can do.
But then, I mean, already it was really just two cups of coffee for all that.
You're going to get one cup after all that. But it's going to be good. It is a good cup. It is a good cup.
All right. Moving on.
Very smooth. I just drink my coffee way too strong. Probably that's what they would say.
Actually, let us thank one of our sponsors.
Yes. Want to do a Hover ad? Hover is our registrar of choice. I am a big fan of Hover. Hover support, by the way, is excellent. I remember getting a call from James who said, we've had a problem. We discovered it and we fixed it, but we thought we'd let you know. And I was very impressed. I was really impressed. Hover is a domain name registrar made simple, clean, easy, simple to use. You can, by the way, there are many reasons why you'd want your own domain name. If you have a business, you ought to, in fact, before you even name your business, get the domain name, right? And if you can't, get a different name. If you have, you know, email and you're still getting your email at Yahoo or AOL or gmail.com, have Megan at Maroney.net or something like that. And then you can have Hover forward it to whoever you want to use as an email provider. You never have to change your email address again. You want to change provider, no problem, but your email stays the same. There are lots of reasons why you want a domain name. For a business, for your family, even for an individual. You know, but when people name their babies these days, they should go to hover.com. Make sure they can get the baby's name.com. I did that with my kids. Both of them have .com, their names.com. And if you're a designer or creative, you can use, there's Mark Fraunfelder. He probably has .design. Why use .com if you could be kind of .ninja?
Mm-hmm. Or .Fraunfelder.
.Fraunfelder. Well, you can't be .Fraunfelder, I don't think. But you could be Fraunfelder.design.
Okay, that's better.
.tech, .art, .yoga. You should do .yoga.
I will.
You should get Megan.yoga and have all your email. Or, see, you want to say Megan at, so may Megan... My middle name is .yoga.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Let's do that. You know, you just said it. Someone's going to go grab it.
Well, you could find some
others. And you can get 10% off.
Oh, that's a good point. Hover also makes it very easy to connect it to all the services. They have, you know, all the connectors for all of the big names. And if you do your own DNS, it's very easy. Their DNS management console is the best I've ever used. And I'm in it all the time and I love it. They don't do all that upselling that some of the other guys do where, you know, you buy a name and then you have to check 100 things. They also don't play the games that some registrars do where you try to get a name and then they try to sell it to you. And I love Hover. And you're going to love Hover, too. 400 domain name extensions to choose from to make it easier to brand yourself online. Best-in-class customer support, too. No upsells. Their Connect feature means you can connect a domain name to any host or website builder with just a few simple clicks. And I highly recommend, if for nothing else, right now, go and look for an email address for yourself and register it and have it. And it really is a great way to do it. Hover.com/twit. Get your first 10% off your first purchase at hover.com/twit. We are big fans of Hover. You know, in just a little plug, Steve Gibson, our security guy, was on, as I was, you know, the original domain, big name domain registrar, and he was getting unhappy with him, because most of us have. And he asked on Twitter, he said, what should I do? Everybody said Hover. And he went to Hover. He loves him. So I'm giving a unsolicited testimonial from Steve on his behalf. I think he would agree. Hover.com/twit. Get 10% off your first purchase at hover.com/twit.
I got a good question for you that I was unable to find the answer.
Okay.
And hopefully you will.
Let me taste this coffee while you're asking.
Alok writes, you and Leo said that Face ID learns and improves each time it doesn't work.
Yeah.
In Touch ID with my previous iPhone, I had my wife and son add their fingerprints so that when they needed access to my iPhone, they could unlock it. Now, with just my face stored in Face ID, I give my phone to my wife or son, and they type in the unlock code. Does Face ID add their features to my stored face information?
No. Okay. It'll only do if it's close. I mean, again, I don't know because Apple doesn't tell you all the details. But it does. You can't cross-train it by having somebody else do it a bunch of times. It might make it less reliable for you. And remember, that after five failed attempts or a number of failed attempts, it will always ask you for a number. I think my guess is what Face ID is doing, and again, Apple's not saying exactly, but my guess is that what it's doing is it's saying, well, that's close, but not enough to unlock it. You enter the code in, and then it might say, oh, okay. But if it's not close at all and you enter in the code, it's not going to add those data points. That would be the reverse of making it better. That would be making it worse. Right.
Right. And that would make it more insecure, right? Because if you kept trying to unlock my phone and then eventually right. it would think you were me.
It's my guess. This is also anecdotal. Apple has said it gets smarter. It learns. But my anecdotal story is that when I've used it either with a microphone on my face or headphones on or glasses on or in an unusually lit situation, the first time it goes, I don't think that's you. It asks for the code. And I notice the next time I use it, it says, oh, yeah, sometimes Leo has a microphone in his face. So mm-hmm. I have noticed that improvement. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be a hard thing for Apple to say, well, there's a threshold. So imagine this. There's a threshold that you have to meet of, matching the data points that we have already for your face. If it's close to the threshold, it's not going to unlock it. But then you unlock it and might say, oh, all right, well, that was close enough. We're going to add that to our databases, possible data points. But if it's distant from the threshold, that would be an easy thing to write in as a software designer. Yeah, don't save those data points. That's somebody else. It is, by the way, the single biggest problem with Face ID. You can't add another person's face. Mm-hmm. Only one person can unlock your phone. And I guess Apple engineers didn't know about that, but many of us I want my wife to be able to unlock my phone. Yeah. So many of us, I don't know if you let your husband have his fingerprint
on your phone.
No way. But I think that's not an unusual use.
Yeah. No, right? I mean, if something happened to you, how right. else would they get into your phone, right? Right?
Well, you know, what you can do, of course, is give them your passcode. By the way, another tip is don't use a 6-digit passcode. You can use a longer one. You can use a complete passphrase, or you can have more digits. The more digits, the better. So make your passcode strong. Obviously, since you're going to be entering it from time to time, you want to make it enterable. So don't make it like a crazy uppercase, lowercase punctuation kind of thing. But I think if you had, for instance, 10 digits, that's pretty good. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Yeah.
James writes, he came across this totally by accident. I didn't know this. Maybe you knew this. If you take a portrait photo on your iPhone X and via cloud view it on your iPad, you can click edit and adjust the lighting effects just like on the iPhone. Did
That's
you know this?
Thanks to the new HEIF format.
Okay.
So this is the biggest, most exciting change in the new generations of iPhone. It's also in the iPhone 8, the HEI, High Efficiency Image Format, or HEF or HEIF. I call it HEIF, but I think some people call it HEF. The idea of it, and by the way, this is a standard like JPEG, but Apple's the first to use it. This is something I took on my iPhone 10, and it's a HEIF, a high efficiency image format. So what that does is not only stores the image as a JPEG would have, the old format, but it also stores raw data about the image. And you see how it showed up there? Mm-hmm. Because it said, oh, that's a HEIF, so you can change the portrait stuff. Just as if it were in the...
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the stage lighting, I'll be honest.
No, me neither.
But I am a big fan of the portrait. We're seeing more and more beautiful selfies from people with iPhone X coming out. I think they really look good. So that's an example. This was this, and that's right. You can change it after the fact because of HEIF. It's storing for photographers who will want to know the technical, it's storing the raw data in addition to the modified data. So it has, and it's fairly efficient. So it's not much bigger than a JPEG, but it's getting all of that extra information in there, which is really great. And that's good. You're going to see that standard. That is not good. See, your hair's like disappeared. It just looks like you're a face in the crowd.
Yeah. I've seen the portrait, the studio, is it called studio lighting? What's it called? Studio.
Yeah,
I've seen
there's it work studio and contour, once. And I'm not sure which one people.
Yeah.
Their stage is the one where it's back. There's no. You're mm-hmm. on a stage, and then there's black and white stage or stage light mono, as they call it.
Yeah, I have fun with portrait mode. Like, it doesn't work very well. I have this picture that I took of this glass of rosé, and it's
well, it works. So the point is, it works better if you use the front facing camera because it's using the additional array of lighting,
right,
to do an even better job.
Yeah.
So if you have an iPhone X and you're using the front facing camera, you're going to really, I think, you get a very kind of credible selfie. It's the best selfie I've ever seen.
Right, but this was not a. This is not a person.
This isn't.
It made it disappear a little.
Yeah, I've had problems with not. Yes, that's the other thing, is it's using face recognition to figure out. So it's not going to do as good a job. I'll show you an example. I used stage lighting on this rose, and it wasn't it, because it doesn't have a face. It doesn't know where the head is. So it cut out here, but it also left some leaves. It's kind of a weird effect. Let me go back here. On the other hand, sometimes it works really well. I should have saved it. I deleted the first picture I took. It couldn't figure out what was foreground, what was background. It made the background in focus and the rose out of focus.
Yeah.
This is the second one I took, and it actually did a great job. That is a very good example of contour lighting, maybe with studio lighting. Yeah, I can change it. So I can show you the different effects. And let's see what happens if I do the stage lighting. Yeah, same problem. See, it doesn't know where the face is. Now, it might do better. Ooh. Remember, both of those pictures, the wine and this, were taken with the back camera.
Mm-hmm.
It might do better if I did a selfie with this thing.
Mm.
But I don't know how to do that. I'd have to get out of the way.
Oh.
So this is we're learning as we go with these new features. But yeah, HEIF, that was one of the things I was most excited about with the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10.
I'm so impressed with this camera, though. Like, it makes me feel
it's very good.
A professional. I took this. This was just a picture that I took in San Francisco.
That's gorgeous.
I just looked up and I pressed the button. That's all I did.
And a lot of cameras would be fooled by the sky. Obviously, it did HDR to get the bright sky and the darker building. And it really, that's stunning.
Something is happening, right? Because I took this outside of the San Francisco MoMA. They have the Walker.
Something is happening.
They have the Walker Evans exhibit there.
Brilliant,
which is amazing.
Photographer, right? You get inspired.
Yeah. But then
was
it's
this
like,
before or after?
That was after.
Yeah,
after I
you got
looked
inspired.
It.
I'm going to take some pictures.
But
yeah.
He had to do so much work.
I know.
And it's so easy. So are we changing our perceptions of what art is? Because like you look at this and you say like, oh, you know, that's a beautiful photo. But I did nothing. That's me. I literally looked up and took a button.
I can tell you people like Walker Evans would hate this.
Yeah.
Because he worked really hard to get his pictures. He was taking them in the Great Depression. And I would bet, I don't know, but I would bet he wasn't using a kind of traditional camera. He was using probably one of those giant, field cameras like Ansel Adams used. And those, you know, he had plates.
Well,
it was hard work.
He did all sorts of things because he has a whole bunch of subway photos that he took.
Oh, those are famous.
He
was
overcoat.
Spying on people.
Yeah.
It's like.
Right. So that wasn't a giant device.
That was
device.
Pretty cool.
But if you are in San Francisco, you should definitely see that exhibit. It's amazing.
I will. Of course, his most famous picture is of Allie Mae Burroughs. Very famous. Do they have that one?
They do. Yeah, that's part of the,
I would really like to go see that. I will go see that.
Go see it. We have so many more questions and not we just don't have enough time.
Oh, we have plenty of time. Forget Mac Break Weekly. Ask some more.
Okay.
I'm going to enjoy some of this fine coffee.
Angela writes, when you were talking about tips and tricks last week, this was a few weeks ago, you mentioned a feature I kind of liked but didn't make sense, the Siri option to type or speak. Am I right that I can only choose one or the other?
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could use both.
I gave the wrong impression. I actually read an article that said you could use both.
Really?
But as I've tried it, it is either type or speak.
Yeah. You can.
And it should be both, right? There should be a way to do that. Maybe there is. If you know, let us know. It's a setting in accessibility where I guess it's designed for people who prefer to type to Siri. And I thought this would be really useful to have it as an option anytime you used Siri. If you press the Siri button on your phone, it could give you a little keyboard or something, but it doesn't. So I reverted back from the keyboard because most of the time I want to talk to Siri. And is it my imagination or is Siri a little bit better on the iPhone 10 than she used to be?
I think she is always getting smarter.
I feel like they're doing something. Yeah, you. That they're doing something with. By the way, did you know? I'm going to show you a Siri tip. Pronounce my name, Leo.
Okay. How do you pronounce the name?
Leo.
Okay. Thank you.
So she's going to give you three choices of how to pronounce it. Now, you should do this with Maroney.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, is she still saying Marone?
Pronounce my name Maroney.
Okay,
And notice she puts it in parentheses.
Well, she said Megan.
Maybe it only works with first names. I don't know. Maybe if you said pronounce my name Megan Maroney.
What?
So now those are some choices. So it'll give you three different choices.
Oh, okay.
Are you using the Australian voice too?
I am, yeah.
How funny. I am too. People must think we're very strange.
Is it the default? Or
no,
did you change it?
I changed it.
I changed it too.
I just thought, I want something different. I used to use the guy for a while.
Mm-hmm. I've never met an Australian I didn't like.
The British Siri sounds like there's a defect. Like it's a little messed up. This one's better. Although, yeah. I say, oh, jolly good. I wish I could do that. It would be very, very good. Anyway, that's a good tip. You can have.
That's a good tip.
So my name is actually pronounced Leo. And so if I put L-E, and it has an acute accent on it. And at first it was pronouncing it L-E acute accent O. It was saying my name. It wasn't saying Leo or Leo. And so I trained it. So if Siri is mispronouncing your name, you can tell her how to pronounce your name.
I met another Leo the other day.
Yeah.
He's from South America.
Yeah. And then the much maligned former CEO of HP was Leo Apotheker.
Oh.
It's an old French name. My dad's name was Leo. I use Leo because I got tired of saying Leo as in Mayo. Just got tired of that.
Well, there was a while where everyone in your TV life called you Leo and everyone in your non-TV life called you Leo.
Yeah, and that was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa's really confused. Sometimes, my wife sometimes calls me Leo, sometimes Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Because she works with me, right? She's our boss. So what I always said is, well, if you're ever going to use my name on the air, you should probably call me Leo so you don't get confused. So she sometimes, usually when talking to everybody at work, she calls me Leo. It's very confusing for her and for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my name is.
Mm-hmm.
Call me Fred. Fred, people named Fred have it so easy.
I know, they do. One more comment or question. Yes. I think it's a question. Bob asks, Bob has it easy too. I've just realized I've got 17 apps on my iPad that won't run under iOS 11, including mm-hmm. some large and higher priced multimedia reference apps, $10 mm-hmm. to $20. My question, how long is it reasonable to keep these non-working apps around in hope that they'll someday be updated? I'm not short of space, but it seems pointless to hold on to apps if they don't work anymore. So would you delete them or just let them hang around?
I delete them.
Definitely.
But you remember we showed you last week how you can find those apps. If you go into the app store, click your picture and then go to purchased apps and then not on my phone. There'll be a list of the apps that you have bought or used in the past. By the way, even free apps show up there and there that you haven't installed. And so they'll continue to be there and you might periodically check. But the truth is this has been a long time coming. You may remember the iOS 10. Apple started saying about those apps. The difference is these are 32-bit apps, not 64-bit. And Apple now with iOS 11 says we're only going to run 64-bit apps. There's lots of good reasons to do that. But last version, iOS 10, you may remember that. It said this app, your iPad may run slower when you use this app. You should probably contact the developer. I wish they'd said something more like, this is a 32-bit app and it's not going to work next generation. So please either find a replacement or contact the developer or both. That would have been more useful and frankly, a little less, I don't know, patronizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel it's a little patronizing. They don't tell you really what's going on. It's not going to slow down your phone or your iPad. It's not going to work in next generation. So those are all 32-bit apps. The truth is because this has been such a long time coming, developers have known about this for years. If it still hasn't been updated, it seems to me highly unlikely that it will. They've had more than a year, almost 2 years, in fact, to get ready for this. That usually means the developers moved on to something else.
Sad.
See when the last update on that app was,
mm-hmm.
right? 2012? Okay. They're not coming back.
It's time.
To wear hats?
It's time for App Cap time.
I'm going to put my quintessential Paraguayan hat on.
I think I also have a Paraguayan hat.
No, you have a Jane hat.
Jane? Like from Tarzan?
She doesn't know. So sad. How does Jane spell his name? It's a Y-N-E, isn't it? J-A-Y-N-E.
Is that an artist? An artiste? Jane?
Should we let her keep guessing?
Jane.
Chat room, do you know which Jane we're talking about? Did you ever watch the TV show Firefly?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, I'm jealous. Are you looking for a show to binge?
Well, the rest of my family's watched it. I don't know why I didn't watch it with them. They probably would watch it with me again.
They didn't make enough of them, and Fox ruined the show by running them episodes out of order, which confused the hell out of the audience. So it was canceled prematurely, but it's one of the best sci-fi TV shows ever made.
Better than Battlestar Galactica, the new one.
I think so, but I think a lot of people might debate that. Okay. It's certainly up there. You like the new Battlestar.
Oh, look. I love the new Battlestar.
So he is the hard-ass, tough warrior guy, but he has this knitted cap. John, do you remember? Was it his girlfriend, his mom, his wife? His mom. His mom made for him. So he would wear it, and he was so tough that nobody would say anything about it. And this was knitted for me. It says inside by Kat the Knitter. She did a knitting podcast for a long time.
Yep, by Kat.
And she knitted it for me.
Let's knit together.
Let's knit together. In fact, if you want to know, go to her website, Let's Knit Together, because she's got the pattern for that. Those are all the right colors. But there's an even better story about it. Remember Colleen Kelly used to work for us, was our first chief engineer, set us up. She got a job at Google. She had always told me, I hired her right out of college. She wanted an internship. And she came to me, and she wasn't quite graduated yet. She was a sociology major. And I thought, well, I don't know if I can use a sociology major. Then I started talking to her, and I realized she was one of the smartest people I've ever met and an absolute genius with this kind of thing we do here. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you an internship, but you're hired. She worked for us for several years, really built the first generation of the Twit video production thing, went to Google, then and now is at Facebook. And Alex Lindsay says, She knows more about streaming video than any human alive. She's a genius. Yes. Anyway, when she left to go to Google, I was very sad. Mm-hmm. And I said, Colleen, take any hat you want out of my vast hat collection. And she took that because she was also a Firefly fan. Kat made me another one, which is very nice of her. Yeah. Let'sknittogether.com. Thank you, Kat. And nobody's getting that. So when you go to Google... Okay. Don't ask for that hat.
Okay. Yeah, Colleen was and still is amazing. I saw her at NAB last year.
She's brilliant. We miss her very much. There's Kat. So good. She's still doing it.
All right. So enough about the hats.
Why are we wearing hats?
Let's talk about the caps. I mean, the apps. Enough about the caps.
We call these app caps, even though they're apparently not caps.
Shall I start?
Yes.
Okay. My app of the week.
You always ask me that.
I know.
You always should start.
It's like you drink when I say, should I start? My app is called Pixel Panels. And you know I'm a fan of the square photos on the wall. And apparently the guy who started Pixel Panels also knows I'm a fan. So he sent me some samples. And
it's so funny that you should do this because Lisa and I have been looking at these.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Because the video shows them moving them around.
Yes.
They have like restick stuff on the back.
Yeah. I have these. I have a ton of them, and I've tried all of them.
They're like Instagram photos,
yes.
Right?
So, and you just, here. But these are, I think, these are my favorite so far. The rest of them that I've gotten are foam core, but these just have the foam core square.
And then it's a particle board they're putting on.
And so they're sturdy, but not too heavy. And then they have this adhesive where you stick and you move around.
But it's just that 3M removable adhesive, I guess.
And it works. I've tried it, and it does not remove paint. There's another one that I tried did remove the paint.
Oh,
this
that
one
would not be good.
So, and here, the photos look great, I think. I took a picture of the house that we lived in San Francisco.
Oh, these are your pictures?
Yeah, these are my photos with my iPhone. Maybe this is the iPhone 8, so you can show them. So, and I think that, like, there's no glare. Can you see? Like, there's a ton of lights in here.
Yeah.
And there's the glare.
A little glare, but not bad.
But you would have them
on. It's pretty matte.
You'd find them
matte.
In a place. You wouldn't be going like that. And I just
I don't
love
know if
these.
It's you or the print. They're all a little blue, but maybe you only take things with blue in them.
Yes. Yeah. I liked, because I'm going to hang them on the wall.
Oh, some so of these, you wanted them all kind of the same, looking, so they would work.
Yeah, they're
You're
not,
right. They would work together, wouldn't they?
And I use the Hipstamatic filter on some of these, too.
So what's cool about these, at least according to the video that I've seen, is that you arrange these as you want in a grid or whatever. And they're panels. Mm-hmm. And then you can rearrange them. And I like that idea.
So they're not cheap, but they're not expensive for art on your wall.
How much
Three
are they?
For $45.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No. And then after that, they're $10 each only. So three for $45 after that. And they have great customer service. And the app is super easy to use. It's not really an iPad app. It's more of an iPhone app, but also I'll show it on the iPhone. If you can see that, and you just get started and access your photos, and then you have all, like, let's look at all photos, and I want to add some of the pictures that I took this weekend, like that one.
All your photos are blue.
Mine. Yeah, I know. Maybe I want to make some art that I saw at the MoMA, and then I just say create your pixel panels, and then you can edit your photo in there. You can move it around or say, yes, that's what I want. And 100% money back guarantee. Enter your credit card, submit the order, super easy. And so this is I was going to show this for the entertaining because they came so fast that if you need to, you know, entertain quickly and you want to come up with some art for your walls, if you have a blank wall, they'd be great. Great for a Christmas gift or a holiday gift, any whatever holiday you celebrate. And like I said, I've tried several different brands of these. There's a lot. If you use Instagram, you probably have seen the ads. But these are brand new. And the guy who created them, he really looked at what was out there and decided how to do it better.
Well, as you were mentioning, I mean, photography is changing because we all have become great photographers all of a sudden, thanks to our devices, our computational photography devices. And I love it that there's now new ways to display your photos. It's so many years... For so many years, mostly what you'd have on your wall is somebody else's artwork, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think more and more people want their own art on their walls. Mm-hmm. My app is either going to change the way you watch TV or a gimmick or a noble failure, depending on whose review you read. Wired Magazine said it was going to change the way you watch TV. Slate says it's a noble failure. The Guardian says it's a gimmick too far. You know who Steven Soderbergh is. And actually, we should do this one on the Apple TV, Kevin, because this is for iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, and probably is likely you're going to watch. Go ahead and actually go back to, let's go back to this main screen. It's likely you're going to want to watch this on a TV. Steven Soderbergh, the great director, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, he's done so many great movies, is making a TV show. Now, this TV show next year is going to be on, I want to say Showtime.
I thought it was HBO.
Or maybe it's HBO. It's going to be on your cable.
HBO.
HBO, okay. And it's going to be his edit. But what he's done, and I think it's very interesting, is he's taken the footage that he shot, and there's hours of it total, 7+ hours, and he's made a app that lets you watch the way you want to watch. Mm-hmm. So as you see, here's the decision tree, and you can choose the path and follow it. Each episode's is under half an hour. It's about, I think the first one was 25 minutes. It's really, I think it's enjoyable. And by the way, Sharon Stone stars in it.
Oh.
So you're going to see, this is professionally produced. This is going to be on HBO. Let's watch the first episode. So you watch the first episode, sets it up, sets up characters, sets up actually kind of a fascinating plot line about a long con, I guess. I don't know what's going on with our internet. So it's entertaining. The script was 500 pages long. They shot it all. Soderbergh used big note cards and had a very elaborate storyboard because it all had to be able to play piece together in different orders, your order. It's like the choose your own adventure kind of, except that I'm gonna have to play it on my iPad, I guess, because something's wrong with our Apple TV.
Oh, it's also playing on my iPad if you need it.
Yeah. So it's not gonna change. Yeah, there she is. So she's at a ski resort. Sharon Stone's very good in this. It's not gonna change because it's all been shot. But he is, I would guess, getting signals from how people watch this. He hasn't, I gather, done his final edit yet.
Ms. Lake.
So what's, I think, interesting is here's a very accomplished, very well-known Hollywood director. She is, by the way, fun because she is a tough, gritty female lead, which we know we all want these days. But she's about to get conned.
What?
In a big con. Yes, so it's very, I won't go any farther than that, but it's very interesting. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. It's well shot.
Which I've given it some thought.
So if you don't need to have cable TV to watch this. In fact, it's absolutely free. So it's a chance to kind of watch a future HBO series. I can't remember how long the HBO is going to be. I think 7 hours, although you could watch this in as few as three. There's not a lot of interactivity except for choosing the next episode. You can choose the path that you want to go in. Ed Solomon wrote it, and I can't remember his other writing credits, but this is like big Hollywood production. This isn't just, it's HBO film. So it's not amateurish in any respect. But it is interesting that Soderbergh is trying this out.
Mm-hmm.
So Mosaic is the name of it. It's free iOS and tvOS. You can put it on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Apple TV. I don't know if it's 4K or not. I should have checked that. But
Ed Solomon of It's the Gary Shandling Show and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. Well, he also wrote something more recently. But yeah, he's
Men in Black, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. So he's a big name. Right? Okay. He's like well known. And I liked it. I really enjoy it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I'm quite enjoying it. So if you're looking for a new show to binge, maybe you want to binge it this way. It's a build your own mini series.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's free, free, free.
Free. Free, free, free.
Free, free, free. Which is, I think, really interesting. What I'd love to hear is down the road what he's doing. By the way, you know who that is?
Who?
It's Pee Wee. On the right. Paul Rubens is in this. I think it's quite an interesting show. And I think that the idea is interesting. And what I would love to hear is how much of the input from how people watched it Soderbergh uses in his final cut.
Yeah. I mean, was it The Verge that said it was a noble failure? Because how do they know it was a noble failure? He hasn't made the...
Well, good question. It was Slate. But it's a good question because... maybe the miniseries just stands on its own. You watch it on HBO next year and you go, wow, that was great. And you never even know that it was a choosing. I think what they're saying, though, is that, and I kind of agree with this, the reason you watch shows is because you want the creators to pull you through a story. That's what a director does. That's what a photographer does. That's what a screenwriter does. They tell you where to look. They walk you through it. And what we've always seen in the past with Choose Your Own Adventures or, you know, anything along this line is that it's not as much fun if you have to pilot it. So I understand what they're saying. The Guardian was maybe a little more hedged. They said, is it a gimmick or the future of the next natural next step or a gimmick too far?
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. So we won't see the show itself until next year. I think January. It's going to be early next year. And I understand he hasn't done the final cut yet, so that will be very interesting. I don't know. This guy works a lot. He's making movies. He's making TV shows. This guy's got a lot of energy. Garrett Hedlund is also in this.
You also work a lot, Leo.
Do I? Do I really? I don't call it work. I get to wear hats. Nick Offerman. Now, there's a guy who works a lot there for hours.
Yeah, we lost it. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for brewing the coffee with us. I wish you could smell it.
Weaker than I like, but a lot of people drink coffee that's weaker than I like. Mm-hmm. I drink mud. I like it.
I like it, too. You can watch this show live. You can watch the coffee brewing every week on Tuesday, 9 a.m., Pacific time, or you can download it from whatever, or you can stream it from whatever podcast tool or toy you use. You can get it from Apple Podcasts, Downcast, Overcast, Upcast, Sidewayscast, whatever cast.
And subscribe. That way you'll get every episode the minute it's available, hot off the presses. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS 12.